Celtic music and Celtic Christianity, ancient words, are having a comeback today. All around the world, people are singing Celtic hymns and trying to go back to St. Patrick and the Celtic way that involved people in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did evangelism in an unusual way. We have an evangelism that's ain't kind of American, where you go buttonhole somebody one-on-one and try to explain the gospel to them and get them to make a commitment to Christ. And if you've ever been with anyone from certain organizations, you know how true that is. But Patrick's way was to go in and live among the people and let your life convert them to the faith. It's kind of amazing that we come every week and share ancient words, and they still bring life today. As Jesus was walking along the way with his disciples, trying to teach them something, as typical of teachers and parents, the kids, the disciples, weren't getting it because they were too wrapped up arguing with each other. Yesterday I was in Raleigh and my daughter called and she'd been out shopping with a six-year-old and a three-year-old, and I could hear the background music of their voices saying that they were not all that thrilled as they were moving from one shopping place to another shopping place. Isn't that it, the way it is with children? And the disciples were spiritual children. Jesus had an urgency about what he wanted to teach them. And what were they doing? They were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Who was going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, the greatest among you must be first. But you see, the church has had a problem with those kinds of things since the time of Jesus. I mean, if Jesus and his own disciples had that kind of problem, then we shouldn't be too surprised that it exists in the life of our church and in the life of the church in general. James, the brother of Jesus, speaking to the Jerusalem church, the oldest, most established church, you might even think of it as first church Christianity, from what we learn about him in the book of James, he was a kind of tough to the point guy. I mean, he just put it down there and said it and laid it before us. And so he does again today in the scriptures that we heard Calvin read. You see, what James wanted in the life of the church is people who worked and lived in a way that they let gentleness born of wisdom guide them. People who learned that maybe the world doesn't do it this way, but in the life of the church, gentleness is preferred over harshness. And if we're wise in the Lord, we can be gentle with one another and make a point. But what happens is there's a lot of bitter envy and selfish ambition still in the life of the church. It was in the disciples. It was in the Jerusalem church in the time of James. It's been in the church throughout 2,000 years. It's in the church today. It's kind of hard to live out there in a world that's always pushing, get ahead, have more, be more, get recognized, and come into the life of the church and do what Jesus said, the first among you will be servant to all. That's crazy out here in the world. You and I gathering here this morning are a bunch of crazy people. If we're going to believe what we just sang, ancient words. But they're words of life. They're words of hope. And we need to overcome these tendencies in us that lean towards bitter envy when we see people that have more than we do, who are recognized more than we do, who are called into the spotlight more than we do. You see, we need to learn to praise God that they're blessed the way they're blessed. But boy, that sometimes goes against our nature. And it goes against the fact that we don't live with so much gentleness born of wisdom, but we live by our own selfish ambitions. And that's a struggle I think we'll have most of our lives. That's a struggle that I deal with. That conflicts and disputes are always among us. Because generally speaking, we want more than we have. And James is telling the church that is behind our conflicts and our disputes. It's at the core of the envy and the ambition. He kind of overstates his position when he says, you want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. Well, I don't know anybody in here that's committed murder, but you know, we do what we do to get what we want, to get ahead. How many times have we compromised the ancient words of Scripture because of this? You know, I grew up in a family where when it came to musical taste, big bands were okay. Even Elvis Presley and rock and roll was okay. Church music was really okay. And classic music was really respected. The one thing you didn't do is listen to that hillbilly country western music. I just grew up in a family like that. But God must have wanted to educate me, because he sent me a son-in-law who loved country music. And then that son-in-law, of course, when he first came in, he was just a guy that hung around the house a long time before they got married. Spent more time at our house than he did his house. And then he conspired to get my son in on that. Well, now my daughter is a music major. And boy, when you go off to college, it's this classical. This is the good stuff. And then here she is with Mike that just likes that down country stuff. And if you don't believe opposites attract, then just look around sometimes. But you know, I began, because that was coming into my home through the young man who would be my son-in-law and my son who adopted it and was singing it all the time. And so I started listening. And I realized that a lot of country music talked about life, everyday stuff that we live with and deal with. And my reactions to the steel guitar, the Hawaiian guitar, and the stuff that you just don't listen to when I grew up. You know, every time I hear one of those steel guitars, I flash back to 8 years old. And, oh, no, we don't listen to that. But I've learned a lot from country music. And a few years ago, Garth Brooks wrote a song that was immediately a hit, Unanswered Prayer. Now, why was that a hit? Because everybody loves country? No, I don't think so. It's because we've all had unanswered prayers. And he was singing about thank God for unanswered prayer. It was a word of comfort. It was a word of encouragement. It was a word of wisdom, even from Garth Brooks. Because we're not wise enough to even know how to pray. That's what his song was all about. And people realized that. And people probably thought back about prayers they had prayed and said, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Can you think back to a few? Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. James says the early church was having the same problem. We were trying to take charge of life and make things happen. And he said the reason you don't have what you really need is you don't ask. You do not have because you do not ask. You don't ask God. But then, the important part of the message, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, I don't know how religious Garth Brooks is, but I do know that the truth of that song echoed ancient words. That we better be thankful that we have a God who doesn't answer all our prayers because we're not wise enough to pray rightly. That most times when we're praying, we're asking to spend it on our passions. It's selfish. It's self-centered. And a lot of times, not the healthy thing for us to do. James is saying, you got to clean up your life. Get rid of envy and selfish ambition. And then the conflicts and the disputes among you will go away. And at that point, you will know how to pray and ask for the things of God that God wants to give you and God wants to grant you. But don't expect an answer when it's a selfish, self-centered prayer and you just want to spend it on your worldly passions. And like Garth Brooks and all of those people who bought that recording, every day, we ought to thank God for unanswered prayer. But every day, we ought to pray to God, teach me, Lord, to pray for the right things in my life. Teach me, God, to pray for the right things in the life of my church. Teach me, Lord God, how to pray for the right kind of things for our world. That honor you and honor the ancient words that we preach and we sing. For all that we do, we're to do to the glory of God. Yes, there are many unanswered prayers, and we can give thanks for that as we learn to walk closer to our Lord and our God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, sometimes we don't know it, but you've blessed us immeasurably by the prayers you have not answered that would have brought into our lives things that would have messed us up worse than we are right now. Oh, we think about riches. We think about prestige and honor. We think about the praise of others in our world. But will these things really bring us closer to you, closer to your kingdom and closer to what you have called us to be. It's okay to have needs, Father. We know that. But not everything we want really meets a need. And like the disciples, we're like little children squabbling in the life of the church and in our families and in our jobs and at school with our friends. Forgetting that to serve one another in love is greater than to be honored by the world. We thank you for unanswered prayers. But we also pray, teach us to pray with the heart of Christ, that our lives may be transformed, that our church might be enriched, and that our world might be blessed by the holiness of your presence. In Christ our Lord. Amen.